Be grateful to know that you are here. As your prophet said, I was not the one that appeared down there in the river. I was the only one standing nearby when he appeared. We realize that there is an appearing and there is a coming, and we know that you did descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. We recognize that you've done all three in descending. We've been a privileged, Lord, to be allowed to understand mysteries concerning yourself and what you're doing. And we're very privileged people, Lord, and we know that. We're on the same ground that Abraham was when you said, well, I withhold from Abraham, my friend, what I'm about to do. And we know we've been made privy to all these things, and it's not of ourselves, Lord, nothing we've done. We just happen to know that you've let us in on your secret. You've done this because we believe with all our hearts that we're children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We appreciate this, Lord. Now help us to study your word tonight, that it might guide and direct us. It may not only tutor us, Lord, but it just may cause us to have strength to carry out the teaching that comes forth, Lord, and all things be to your praise and glory, which we certainly give you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to recap and continue with what we were into last Sunday, which had to do with the communion service, which message I was bringing, because there are times I'm thoroughly misunderstood on the grounds that a person catches something that is said and then sort of that goes against the grain, perhaps, because the person doesn't understand what has been previously stated. Now, it's kind of good to listen and try to reconcile everything within the framework of what has been taught. And to help you, I just might quote from Brother Branham on the grounds of how he would talk to me as a friend. And we might be, or I might be, particularly critical of some person. And he'd say, now look, Lee, you just can't say that and think that because you don't know how that person was born. You go right back to his birth, what his problems were with birth, not how he was born with a cesarean or the doctor used forceps and kind of, you know, but what's in the genes. Like Brother Brown was born to a drunken father and a mother that was very young and all, and he had these nervous conditions that he was born with, and yet he was born a prophet. He had something that nobody else had, and he was misunderstood. And then he said, you don't know what made that person do that. What a problem he had. It's just like the Indian said, you can't judge a person till you walk in his moccasins. And that's the way it is with the message, even as we teach here based on what Brother Branham taught. We try to follow carefully what he taught, at least per letter, and then trusting that the Lord would give us the strength to dynamize that letter and bring forth a living stature, which Brother Branham called a living stature, unto Almighty God. Now, so the statement is made, of course, that here that I definitely would not withhold communion from somebody who smoked. Now, if you smoked and you tried to blow the smoke in my face, I'd have the boys throw you out and you wouldn't get back in again. I'm not talking of permissiveness. I'm talking of people who are bound by habits, where compassion is needed and help is needed, where criticism does not work. Now look, brother, sister, you can take a shoehorn. You women know what I'm talking about more than men. And you can squeeze your size 8 feet into a size 5 shoe, and you're going to suffer for it. Now, you can try to do that with Christians or somebody. You try to force them into something. It's not going to work. As if somebody's going to get hurt. What's got to be is pulling together so there's something is done with in the proper atmosphere and the things of the Lord. Now, if you bring something to pass other than that, outside of love and the motivation being correct and the things of God, the Word is in the framework of the Word, you get a monstrosity. Now, we're going to talk about that tonight and try to show you again and finish up this message, which I won't take the first part of it, but I'll go right to 1 Corinthians 11. And in there, reading from verses 17 to 22 and then verse 34. Now, on this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For he's saying just very flat-footed here. Why should I give you any praise? He said, you're not coming up the scale, you're going down. See, now let's keep reading. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Now look, brother, sister, anybody causing division, you're in trouble. Now, don't click and clam. We've been through that before. This church is trying to get away from it. Don't try to throw your weight or do anything. You're not going to get away with it. And don't be family. And don't be interfamily. Now we've been together. Some of you folk are going to be family by marrying. And you'll be in-laws. Let me tell you, in-laws can be outlaws to the things of Almighty God. Now, I'm not perturbed about anything, but let's just take a little example. Last Sunday, many weren't here, which is all right, because you weren't here. And actually, we could have had an absentee vote. Now, the vote would have still gone in the majority to the South, but many people did not vote. Now, look, I even put it to the place where I said, hey, it's turned political, so let's get political and vote your own desires. And the thought was, well, whichever way the crowd goes, it's okay by me. Listen, that's fine if you're in politics. But when you're in the house of God, you listen to the minister. I wanted this for one special reason, so that you'd begin all doing together these things that are requisite as a body of Christ. Because by the grace of God, I don't know if I'll be leaving you or not, but I hope I will. And I'm not, as I said, not to want to leave anybody. But I'm looking for a maturity here where this church can stand out as an end-time bride church that knows where it's going and how to get there. Amen. So that you're adults. But look at it, if we can't even have a little simple thing like that. And now, I'm not angry, I'm just telling you flat. I had something in mind. Now, my own wife didn't even vote. She said, what's the use? I said, I want you to vote. Now, she's a sweet girl. She didn't mean any harm. And you're all sweet girls. You didn't mean any harm. And there was no harm done. But even these things are necessary because the voice of the Holy Spirit's in the majority, and you can't say the Holy Spirit's in me if you don't allow something in the majority come forth from you. Huh?
Amen.
Thank you. Well, let's have some action next time. I see. Now, we're going into Scripture here. so many things are misunderstood. There's no new room for certain misunderstandings. There just isn't any. We'll take an example here, you see, in this communion service here. Now he said, there's divisions among you. Now we'll keep reading, he said. And he said, that they which are approved may be made manifest. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He said, flat, he said, you are not having the Lord's Supper. I don't care what he said you think you're doing. And he said, you think you're having Lord's Supper. But he said, you don't have it. See? This thing... it's going to start cracking on me if I'm not careful. Does it need tightening up, or what is going on here? It's in here, but what it is, I don't know. Okay. We'll have to have that tended to. I don't know about those things. All right, now. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise you the church of God, and shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I sit in order when you come. Now in 23 to 32, he says, for I have received the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night, in which he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death, or you declare, proclaim, you literally preach a sermon, the Lord's death till he come. In other words, it's a sermon on it. You say, what are you people doing that for? See, why do you people do that? What's it all about? See? How could you go to a church where the priest eats, drinks the wine, and the people eat the bread, if they get that? What's going on here? Well, they say, are you telling me then that you have something, Mr. Priest, Mr. Preacher, that we don't have? If the preacher's got something that you don't have, and he's right, you better get it. You better get it. And if he's got something wrong, you better chuck it. See? Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily, and in a manner that is not right, see? In an unworthy manner. Now that worthy, unworthy manner can go many ways. And the unworthy manner he was talking about was they were actually having their own little kind of a feast. A pig out, what it was. Sheep don't act that way. If that is sheep out, it would have been different. shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, notice, this has to do with body and blood, right? And so, therefore, a wrong attitude and a wrong manner of partaking makes them guilty. Of what? The very thing they're claiming to have for protection and safe passage, because it was the blood that gave the safe passage for Israel out of the land into the new land. The Holy Ghost bearing witness to the blood and carrying them over. The same thing is today. Are you listening? Now, everything I say you must relate to a present-day message in the teaching you've got here over the years. And we've always referred to Brother Branham's ministry, the prophet of God in his teaching. And nothing I say is different from it or takes you from it, holds you right to it, and brings you back to it. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh condemnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, carry one for another. All right. Now, we showed you that the first section of 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 22 was the whole church. It was the body. He talked to the whole church. Now, their ceremonial formula was not ordained by God, and therefore this was a judged church. And don't make no mistake about it. Now, Paul, you'll notice, was the apostle prophet, and he spoke as a judge. Now, let's just take a look at that in the fifth chapter of the same book, 1 Corinthians, and the third verse. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. Now, you put that right today in this ministry. And the Lord Jesus Christ in his body form is not here, but he is here in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he dealt through a vindicated prophet, William Branham, and the church is judged as a body. This is exactly why it says in the book of Matthew, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. This is that divorce in 2 Thessalonians. The so-called catching up is divorce. You want to look at it? Let's take a look at it. 2 Thessalonians. Well, next Sunday we'll be talking on the same subject. I can see that coming up. Except I'll cut it short somehow by the grace of God. All right. In the third verse of the second chapter, 2 Thessalonians, let no man deceive any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. You see? Now they'll call that the apostasy. They'll call that many things. And then that man and the man of sin be revealed the son of perdition. Now, actually, that word is divorce. Now, there cannot be, therefore, the great tribulation. There cannot be a resurrection. There can be nothing until the church is literally divorced. I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. And that's already occurred. The church is a judged church. Now, you notice that Jesus himself in the prophetic ministry declared himself to be the judge. Now he said, I don't say anything except the Father in me is telling you these things. And John the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse, I suppose it is, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now you notice it's in God did not come in the form of the Holy Spirit in the office of Father, although he is the Father. He came in the office of the Son so that God gave the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I can explain that to you, except to say the only begotten is in the bosom of the Father. And if God gave the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Spirit, he can be speaking thereof truly in the office that God's giving himself. As he gave himself in the form of the Son there, it is still sonship. And he's done it. Now watch, he said over here in some more verses in John 5, 26, 27. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he's given to the Son to have life in himself, and given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Now after that, he said, marvel not because the hour is coming and all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. But they're all not going to come out that first time. They'll hear it, don't worry. That is all the ones that have gone on to the other world. Don't worry about the bodies. Speaking of those that have gone on. Now, he's the judge. He certainly is. Now, prophets are bringers of the word, they're revealers of the word, and therefore they're judges. And even Paul judged the church. Now, I want you to notice something here. That Paul rejected out of hand their Lord's Supper as legitimate and spiritual. So, therefore, according to Paul and his judgment, it was illegitimate, rejected, and downgrading. Now, listen then. Now, I'm always criticized, not by you people, but I'm very criticized by my harshness. I am not harsh. I am telling you the truth. I've got to abide by this. You've got to abide. I don't have a choice in this. Paul the Apostle distinctly said it was illegitimate. He said it is not right. You've added to it. You've messed it up. He said it is rejected. He said it is not the Lord's Supper. And he said, furthermore, when you come together, instead of being better, which you should be better having been here, you leave in a worse shape than when you came. So it's degrading. Now, listen, you don't think that's strange. We go to the book of Matthew and you find many will come to me that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils and prophesied and then they spoke in tongues and everything else? And here's people with genuine gifts. They'll speak any place on the floor and interrupt Brother Branham, any man of God. That's absolutely rejected. It's been judged by God. It is illegitimate. It lies outside the framework of the word. It is rejected by God. He will not listen to it. It is degrading. Yeah. And on the day of judgment, he said, I never knew you. Yeah. So you see, these things are very important. I know some people don't think they are, but we must take every word or no word at all. Now, so therefore, we can see, according to Brother Brown's preaching, that just about every rite, in fact, every rite in the church, because foot washing was despised and not even used, that those rites that were given to the church, those ordinances, were absolutely judged by the prophet and they were wrong. You see? Look at how Lord's Supper. In most churches, they take it in the morning. Why? Because they don't like a night service. You know, for years and years, the popular churches have canceled their night services. When do they take communion? Well, they say that people come to church in the morning, so that's how we'll do it. Years ago, when I was a kid, the Christians came to church in the morning and we could get sinners out at night. Now it seems the sinners come in the morning, and if you get Christians out at night, that's pretty good. So they take the Lord's Supper in the morning. It's absolutely untenable. Then you notice that some of them drink grape juice instead of wine. A fellow years ago, up in Pennsylvania, he was very critical of the fact that people drank wine instead of grape juice. And I declared right in the pulpit, I said, if you get offended over this, you'll stumble over anything else down the road. You watch. You'll be gone. First thing, he was running around with women. He couldn't drink wine, but he could drink the wine of sexual fornication and perversion. Drunk, just like the harlot. Here's a drunk Protestant, a regular, typical harlot. Then again, there are those who pass around a loaf of bread. They call it breaking bread and break a chunk off. Leavened bread. Where do they get that? You see? They add and take as they please. Look at water baptism. Water baptism is not according to Matthew 28 and 19 without a revelation in the name of a Trinity. It is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Acts. And everybody in the Bible was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it is immersion. It is not sprinkling. It is, many people confuse the baptism of water with the baptism of the Holy Ghost because it says in Ephesians there's one baptism. That's the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Baptism in water simply inducts you into local church, a fellowship. The Holy Ghost baptism inducts you into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Then people give meanings to water baptism. They're like the Church of Christ and the Pentecostal oneness people. They say, well, you're baptized out of repentance, remission of sin. So there's no remission of sin unless you're baptized in water. As though water did something. Peter said it's not the putting away the filth of flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. See? Now water baptism is a very, very simple ordinance, but people have perverted it. They've done desperate to the things of Almighty God. They haven't recognized that there is something authentic in the church. Now, of course, it hasn't been authentic for years. That's true. Paul came and look at Let's go back to Paul, who put the church in order. Anybody that reads the Bible understands this much. In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "My brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of wisdom or speech of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Christ Jesus and Him crucified." Or Jesus Christ and crucified. "And I was with you in fear and weakness and much trembling in my speech. And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand simply in verbalization, but you saw vindication." The power of God, brother, sister, not simply this word. That's just printed page. That's a printed form. When this comes to life, and it does exactly, the author does exactly what he says in here, that's power. That's dunamis. That's the Holy Ghost. Now we're getting somewhere. And Paul said, "I came to you," not verbalizing. "I came just like Jesus, doing and teaching." He said, "Then if any man's lost, he's lost by his own decision. He's not lost by what God presented you." Now, people would say, "Well, all right, that'd be great. Could we have that?" We had that in our day. Now look what Paul said, because he didn't just verbalize. He was a prophet of the highest order with manifestation and demonstration, just like Elijah and all those great servants of old in the 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And in there he's speaking. And he says in verse 35, "If any man, if they were the woman, woman's got to keep silent, see. If they learn anything, let them ask her husband at home. It's a shame for women to speak in church." What? Now listen, here's the big thing. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Now he's telling, look, he said, if you can produce what I produce, I'll listen to you. Now if you can't produce it, you sit down and listen to me. You think anybody would have dared to take Paul the Apostle on? Oh, come on. "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual," that's a prophet, "or even full of the Holy Ghost." If you got the Holy Ghost, Paul said, "you will acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Why? Because they knew Paul. Could anybody just come on the scene and say that? No. There's not a man in organization or denomination can say that. There's nobody self-taught or school-taught can say that. There is nobody unless he be ordained of God. Now that's exactly right. Now that's what we saw. And we saw it in this day too. You see? Now notice. This church here has a scriptural obligation as a body. We have a scriptural obligation, according to the Word of God, according to Paul, according to Brother Branham, that all of us agree in the doctrinal teachings of William Branham, which he has taken from the Bible, and also to fully accept and agree with the democratic principles he laid down for the church from the same word, which include the electing of officers, installing a pastor, the taking of tithes, offering, dispensing, things going to the needy, and so on and so on. And when the church then decides to come together under a pastor and those in authority, then, of course, they must listen to that authority which is delegated to the minister from the Word of Almighty God. And we go to the book of the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And in there, that great chapter which is on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever, he distinctly says this in the 7th verse, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, concerning the end of their behavior." Now, what's he tell you there? No man has the rule over you outside the Word of Almighty God. And then he said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, day, and forever. And Jesus said, "Which of you can convince me of one word? Convince of me of sin, find me one word off." See, Jesus said, "Only those things I say which the Father tells me to say, and do the things he tells me to do, I see him do." And then again down here he says in verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The ministers do not look out for your soul. I just say one thing, you better get yourself another one. And that's all there is to it. If you're looking out for your soul and doing his best to help you, then you should appreciate and go along. Now, I'm not grinding an axe, I'm just saying this is what it is. There is something, that Paul is teaching us here in this 11th chapter. He was telling the people as a whole, you are wrong as a whole. And the church was wrong as a whole, because they agreed together to do those things. Now, there's where the democratic principle is 100% off target, is when you agree against the Word of God. So, well, I think it means this. You can open it. That's not the way it works. If you don't know, you don't know. And there's no one in authority, you still don't know. Just do the best you can. God does not wink at ignorance. But remember, there was always a sacrifice for ignorance. And Jesus death and resurrection covered every sacrifice. See? You've got no problem if your heart and mind is right. Now that takes a look at the church as a whole. And you know, denominations, organizations, they're just plumb away from the Word of God. They're condemned. Get out of them. That's what Robert said, get out of them. Then he talked about the individual. See? And the individual was in the 11th chapter also. And we read it. And in their beginning at 27 to 29, let's look at it. For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily, in a wrong manner, and so on, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. In other words, what were they doing? Crucifying to themselves the Son of God. Then what about this hour? Crucify to themselves afresh the Son of God, putting him to an open shame. Certainly. Why, that's true. They're condemned. Let a man examine himself. Notice, let a man examine himself. Doesn't say let the man stand up and examine the church. And doesn't even the church examine the man. And doesn't say the man examine the church. What does it say? I can read my Bible here. It said let a man examine himself. And so let him. Well, that's natural. Well, that's when I take Lord's Supper. Who puts what in my mouth? I don't put in your mouth. No, the priest may do that. You go ahead and follow your priest. Go to hell for all I care. You know what I mean? I use that word as though I didn't care. In other words, I'm just telling you flat. If you are so obstinate and so stubborn that that's the way you want to go, I'm not going to do anything about it because what's the use? Shall I club you into believing me? I want you to believe God. So nobody puts anything in my mouth. I don't put anything in your mouth. What I put in my own mouth. Sure, eating and drinking. Little piece of bread, unleavened bread. Little bit of wine. Now, that signifies I have accepted in the true light and proper understanding the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for me. Now, I can't deviate from the simplicity. No, I may want to add to it and say, well, I think it'd be nicer this way. And that's okay. Again, dress it up, honey. Dress it up. Dress it up. Wash the pig and put a ribbon on it and a gold a ring in his nose. It's still a pig. And don't think you're not smart. They're smarter than dogs and horses. Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't think you're not smart. But a pig's a pig. And then you say, well, that's not nice. It is nice because God branded him. Dog to the bomb, the side of the wallow. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh condemnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. We're corrected, we're trained. And Brother Brand said, we don't come to church for fellowship. Well, that's true in a sense. We do come for fellowship with him and with each other in spirit. But he said, we come to be corrected. So it's not the fellowship that counts, it's the correction. And this is what Paul was doing. Now he said, do it correctly, there's no problem. And I find that with everything of God. And that's my big drawback, that's your drawback, that's everybody in this church's drawback. We all got an idea, not that we got an idea, we're smarter than God, but we're afraid. We have a fear if we did exactly what God said, ooh, I'm going to tell you, if you don't, it comes back on you. He who said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, did not lie, my brother, sister. He told the truth. I would to God I believed him. And I would to God you all believed him with me. And you see a growth. And you have some understanding of what we're really talking about. See, and what we're coming into. Because I don't believe we're going to get out of here until we have some of these things pressed down in our heart. And our lives are conforming. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, carry one for another. Now, the individual here is now reckoned with. Now, first of all, the church must, though it's a democracy, must come under the headship of the Word, which is not a democratic process. Getting yourself a pastor, getting yourself deacons, moving to another location, building yourself a church, voting a certain sum of money for certain things, helping certain people, you may do that, but you have nothing to do with the Word, and I don't. Well, sirree, no way, shape, and form. You've got to come right down to where it, in this hour where it's vindicated. Now, we recognize that this moment here, and this last day especially, of Laodicea, it's a treacherous, treacherous hour, that there is no church ever has been, and no person has ever been or will be perfect this side of the resurrection. But there must be a striving. There must be a desire. See, there must be a going on, depressing the battle to the gates. Now, what is the remedy? The remedy here is this. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, we have problems. Some are great problems. Some are with ourselves, some with others. And that's the way life is. It's either yourself or somebody. It's like the guy who said, I never drink except by my, except with others or alone. In other words, always drinking. And that's the way people are with their sins and their problems. Either they got them on their own, brooding about it, or somebody else is in them with it. But that's the way life is. That's exactly, you're not going to change it. And yet it's a one-to-one. You got, everybody's got to strive and move on to the Lord. Now, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we're judged, we're chasing the Lord. In other words, we lay ourselves open and say, well, Lord, whatever you want me to pay, whatever penalty, whatever it is that takes to smarten me up, then that's the way it's going to be. And brother and sister, I want to tell you something. Don't be glib before God. He said, let your words be few. Don't give the sacrifice to fools. Let your words be few, for God is in heaven and you're on earth. More than once I've said, Lord, Lord, if you got to kill me to do so-and-so, I'm going to tell you, just about did. And I can't say, well, I know it's all over now. As far as I know, it's over. But the devil will come right back and trick me tomorrow. Because I tell you, once the devil knows your weakness, and he knows your weakness the minute you're born, he'd just be after you and after you and after you. And there's no surcease. The only surcease you got, and I've got, is just doing the will of God. Say, Lord, I did what you said. You're scot-free then. I don't care what happens to you and me. There's something in there, see? Wherefore, brethren, you come together. All right, now, he tells you what it is. Here. There, now, today, people get alarmed and upset over my attitudes especially. Like, I think my attitudes are right. The upset over smoking, cut hair, and dress. And they want to deny people the communion table. I say, if they want to do it, that's fine. But when you do it, you turn to me, first of all, to Colossians, the third chapter. And reading 5 to 15. There's a mortify, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now look at the majority. Look at, there's 5 things mentioned, of which 4 are sexual. Then you wonder why we've got such a sexual condition in our world today, right in the church? And covetous, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now those things in the word right there, those 4 things which are sexual, promiscuous sexual things, and covetousness, which is idolatry, is where the companies are joining land to lands. Now that's what's wrong with this nation. Bank is swallowing up bank. Oil field falling up oil field. Steel falling is swallowing up this outfit. Mobile oil taking over wards, and when wards going down the drain. They have, and Mr. Reagan told them, we're going to cut your taxes. You're screaming you can't build new factories. You can't put new men to work. So we're going to cut taxes. And when they're cutting the taxes, then you'll be able to buy new machinery, put people to work. They took all of that money and they funneled it to buy more and more people up and put more people out of work. And Reagan won't do one thing. He's going to be blamed before God. I like the man. I'm sorry for the man. But he's wrong. He's the leader of this nation. And let me tell you something. His job in this nation before God is the same as William Branham was when he was here. Because there's two worlds and God put leaders in both of them. And they're ministers of God according to my Bible. That's right, ministers of God. And Peter warns, he said, look, and Paul warns, and now he said, if you do good, you don't have to fear those guys. Peter said, now, he said, look, he said, if you fear them, there's a reason you fear them, because you're doing wrong. But he said, you can stand up any of those guys any day if you're doing right. Then they can't prosecute, but they can persecute. See? Those things right there, the great earmarks, sexually promiscuous, and idolatry, the covetousness. That's why men better be careful this end time. Rich, increase, and good don't lack a thing. Lack everything. Amen. Kick Jesus Christ out and crucify them themselves, Son of God afresh. All right, now listen. He said, the wrath of God's coming on the children of disobedience. in which also you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You say, Brother Bill, Paul couldn't have been talking about those people down there. Yes, he was. Well, you don't think they have the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I think they do. I think they do. Brother Brand said that young man that had his father's wife, but she was like a young woman married to an old man. And her appetite was a little bit too virile for the old man, so she took the son. And the church thought, well, that's okay. You know, things like that happen, so they didn't pass judgment. Paul said, just me. He said, you better judge. I read that to you, didn't I, over here in 1 Corinthians. Look what Paul did. He told the church they better judge. He said, absent in body, present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning this deed. See? But they didn't want to do anything about that. Lie not one to another. Seeing you put off the old man. Notice it. How can you put off the old man unless you're born again? Which I think that's just sanctification. I want you to prove it to me. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. How can you get a knowledge from him unless you're full of the Holy Ghost? It's just a blank thing. Touch not, taste not, do not, feel not this, that, not the other thing. Anybody can do that. But this is going to renew you. How can you be renewed outside the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I want to have that question answered. It says, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But here it is. But Christ is all and in all, and they're in him. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. How merciful are you sitting here tonight? How kind are you here tonight? How humble? Humble is the mind. You know what humility of mind is? Humility is when you credit to God what he said is true concerning you. I've told you for years and years how it was with me. I had the chance when I was 22 years of age when God spoke to my heart. See? They were the righteousness of God. How these things were in Jesus Christ. And I was thinking, how did Peter and those men, Peter said, he called it unclean, and God said, call not that unclean which God has cleansed or uncommon. And it came to my heart, that was what God said concerning me. And I very sweetly smiled, you know, my benign expression, you know, oh, how nice the Lord is. But you know, I know better than Jesus does. He might have died me, but so what? I'll tell him how to use it. How can you be a greater, stupider ass than that? How can you be more stubborn, more arrogant than that? Now, I know you sit here and you say, well, I don't think it was. You're wrong. I'm telling you to your teeth, you're wrong. That's arrogancy at its top-notch branch. To spits in the face of God the way Satan did. Making God a liar. There's too much of that. There's too much Sarah around here. And I'm not fussing any of you people. I'm just telling the truth. There's too much of a false humility. Arrogance is what it is. Arrogance, and I'm going to tell you, is death. If you want to know the truth. You wonder whose blood you're going to watch flowing down? It's going to be your own. Jesus' blood's already been shed, but your blood and my blood's blood's going to flow. So I said, oh no, I missed the opportunity. 50 years later, just almost 50 years later, 45 at least it took. The mills of God grind slow, brother, sister, and you better believe it. Sure. Now it says here, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. What if you go to the table without that? Well, bless God, I haven't cut my hair. Bless God, don't smoke cigarettes. I'll tell you something. If you exhibit all of this, I will gladly let you smoke a cigarette. As a special favor. Two cigarettes and a good cigar. You see what I'm trying to get at tonight? See how ridiculous it is? If you say this, that, and you don't go where God said. Look, brother, sister, if you get and I get one third of this, we won't even touch a cigarette.
and I haven't got through reading yet. Forbearing one another, forgiving, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bound of perfectness, of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Now, they didn't have that in Corinth, and they must have had some trouble here. And they were taking the Lord's Supper down here, too. This is a big warning. This is a warning to people to judge themselves. This is how you judge yourself. Do I have this in my heart, or don't I? Now, we've been building on the stature of a perfect man and realize that we have the faith and the virtue and the knowledge and the temperance and the brotherly kindness and all. Oh, I forget them all. There's seven in there. And the eighth one, love. He's right here in our lives, with us and in our lives. But then what about these things? What about fruit? That's an integral part, too. So therefore, we must understand these things. Now, I know we don't have full expression, but brother, sister, I know we're going on with the Lord. We've got to go on with the Lord. Okay, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, beginning at 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be, you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The Ephesians didn't even know anything about Jesus the Christ until John went down there. And John didn't have the full revelation. Then Paul came down there. So who taught them? Paul did. Then who was Christ? Who was Jesus Christ to them? Paul was. Then who was William Branham to us? The Lord Jesus Christ. But he wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. But to us he was. He was the delegate. He was the ambassador. Certainly, he was the knight, the herald that brought us the truth. That you put off the former behavior of the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts or pleasures. What you like to do and you did it. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Spirit and mind go together. And after that, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. You know, that's the thing that he hit. I've said time after time, that's the first thing you'll see in people that leave this message you're not with, they lie. That's the first thing they'll do, they'll lie. That's the first thing Satan didn't do, he lied. And when he got the lying going, he was able to seduce him, just take it right in his power. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, not to his neighbor, with his neighbor. And for you are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to it. But let him that steal no more. Let him labor his hands, do that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There you are. Learn to give. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, then may minister grace unto the hearers. Now there's a lot of that in Book of Philippians. Also, we read scripture the other day. Concerning 1 Timothy 5:8, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10 because there's more than just one verse there. All right. In 3 and 10. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Well, let's face it. If you don't work, you got to do something. Isn't it a little old saying, the devil always finds things for idle hands to do? Sure. Now, them that are such command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now, he tells you that there are times when people got to have help. There are those incapacitated, they can't work, so you got to help them. Sure, you just can't throw them on the street. Like James said, you can't say be warmed and fed and nevertheless don't do anything for them. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And when you take that back to Galatians, that had to do with physical things, where it says, did you give? Let's go back to Galatians. Maybe I can find it for you. Just know he's talking about it. Let's read it if you can. All right? It says here, let him that is, verse 6 and 6, let him that is taught in the word communicator, give unto him that teaches in all good things. In other words, the tithing and the giving. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. Tells you right there, you're giving, you're going to get it back. You sow it and it gets multiplied. Why does a man sow grain? So he gets it multiplied. Why do you give? Now, the tithe is not giving. The tithe you owe to God. But when you give, what happens? God's got to give it back to you because that's seed to the sower. As a sower. Most people never learn giving. I don't preach it much here and talk much. I could take you sermon after sermon, but 8 sermons on tithing and 8 sermons on giving. I've done it. I threw my notes out. I've burned bushel notes. I throw everything away nowadays. Preach and throw it out. It's not dead man. It's just a preacher. Going on to something else. And to show you these laws that are laid down. Spiritual laws. Not carnal laws to make you greedy. Spiritual laws. Bill Smith told me one time, he said the people weren't giving the way they should. He told me one night, one time, he said, look, let me tell you something. He said, I've been giving. I've been doing it right. I've tried to be an example, tried to teach you. Now, he said, the squeeze coming down, and I'm going to have plenty, and you won't. Now, he said, don't come and get it out of my basket, because you can't have it. I'm sowing for Bill. And you know something? They that gathered manna did it one at a time. Sure. People got to learn. Don't look around and say this and say that. Don't even bother. Look at Brother Branham said, if John isn't doing it, and if John's supposed to do it, George, you go ahead and do it. Now, people say, look, I believe that person smoked. He couldn't possibly come to the communion table. What if his heart was really right before God and struggling? Now, here's a person, you say, well, that person doesn't smoke. That's a lovely person. Oh, that's a nice person. I know that person. Now, what if that person in a nice church with nice people, nicely sanctified, oh, they demonstrated fruit. They demonstrated spirit. It was everything going for them. And they said, William Branham, ha, a charlatan. They cannot come to the table of the Lord. Or they say, but just a minute, he could. No, he couldn't. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. That's all you are. You're sinning. You've thrown your lot with a bunch of heathen. So you might as well go back being a Trinitarian. Because the prophet of God vindicated him. Now, if you believe in vindication, let's see if you really do. Or let's see, or are you just pretending? The prophet absolutely bore down on discerning. He said, don't discern the Lord's body. And the great discernment was, do you accept the man that God sent?
Yes. Amen.
Identification hasn't been printed yet. Dave Momulus has. I've got it and copied it off. But you ought to find out what identification really is, too. And see where you stand in the Bible and in history. And I'm going to tell you, if you miss the prophet, drink all you want. Eat all you want. It's condemnation. not trying to sell anybody here. Oh, say, hey, look at here. There's going to be a few of us folk, and we can number 8 or 10 going to the rapture. I don't put it down that way for 1 minute. I just lay the rules down. I can miss this myself. Paul himself said, though I preach the truth, one day I could be disapproved. He wasn't, though. See? All right, there must come a time when smoking, short hair, wrong dress, all of those things must go. But what about the others? I tell you again, anybody can quit smoking when you want to. There are sins and things in life that are a million times worse, harder to get rid of. And yet a person can dump smoking very easy compared to some. Why? Because you weren't born with the idea of liking smoke. Let a little baby inhale smoke. It gags, it coughs, it cries, it screams. It doesn't want your filthy corruption. It wasn't born to take that muck. But it was born to sin because it's a sinner. It was born to blaspheme God if it wanted to. It was born to kill if it wanted to. It was born to rob and rape if it wanted to pillage, to harm, to debilitate. Do anything he wanted. He was born. You show me one person that liked the taste of strong liquor. It burned him. They had to acquire it. But you've got things in here that the Holy Ghost can eradicate and take out of our lives. These other things. All right. Now, what must we do? Well, as far as I know the Scripture, we must partake in faith, regardless of our condition, if we're striving to go on with God. Now, if you're smoking and not striving, you think you can sneak behind somebody's back. That's the first one of the first things stumbling when I was a kid. This guy was a nice little preacher. He was a deacon. But I didn't know he snitching smokes behind the barn. Why don't you just come to church and say, hey, folk, I can't be a deacon here. And neither can anybody in this building be a deacon smoker. If we find out, if we don't find out, you get away for the time being. But your sins always find you, like mine do. Don't kid yourselves. Everybody gets found out. He was snitching smoke on the side. He should never have been a deacon. Now, if the people in the church knew that, they should have elected him. He should not have been in that pulpit. Like no woman. She can't get up and preach. Even if her hair's long, there's no way. And her skirts are right, and her shoes are just right, and this and that's right. She can't do it. You see? Now, what is communion? Communion is a disciplinary act on the part of God. It's an ordinance set forth where you are absolutely obligated to take it. And yet, if you do in sin, you're going to be judged. But you see, that's good. That's good. We must learn that there are some things in life that must be absolutely contended with, and this is one. So we must do that. Now, what is the right attitude? We've been into that. We go back to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, and we can see it, I believe, quite easily in this one verse. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Now, that doesn't just say tarry for yourself and ask the Lord to forgive you. It means that you know that the church is liable as a whole to be wrong in its assessments. And you know as an individual you're wrong. And the individuals make up the whole. So therefore, what happens is that everybody prays for himself and for the others. And say, Lord, cleanse my heart and everybody else here. And you make it very, very serious. And there should be that. That's why I try every night, every time we have communion, to say something to help the people. Now, in dealing with this question, at this point we want to emphasize 28 to 31. Let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. Not otherwise. He got to examine. For he that eats and drinketh unworthy eats condemnation. Now, the very thing, brother, sister, that you're relying upon to cleanse you, and you going into that service wrong, will condemn you. Now, remember, you got a high priest. It wasn't that Jesus said, I shed my blood, and you know, from now on, that's it. No, he sent the Holy Spirit back. And then on top of that, he became the high priest. And on top of that, he causes the Holy Spirit in us to pray for us and to pray for others. So you see, we have a very great armament given us of God. Now, he didn't discern the Lord's body. Now, God wants that body discerned. And the prophet said right there to begin with, you have to know the prophet to begin with as a major factor of discernment. But all these other things are in there too. And he said, for this cause many are sickly among you, and many sleep. Now it tells you right there that a church that is proper in its doctrine, that is right in its attitudes, that is trying to come up higher all the time, recognizes there's no perfection this side of the resurrection, but strives and is moving on and moving on. Like Brother Brand said, what were you there back there? What are you now? Look at yourselves right now and look and say, what am I like today? Hey, what is this? This is March the 5th, 1986. Go back 3 years. What are you like then? What are you like now? Now, be honest. Have you lost ground because of some of your feelings, some of your ideas, that you've got to be right when maybe you're not right? Or your ideas must take precedence or somebody else's? Now, you've gone back. That's what Paul said. He said, you came to service and you went back. Yeah. You can go to church and go back. Now, I don't claim that I'm the head of the class because you know I'm not. If I claimed that, you'd have to go home and say, well, I guess Lee's worse off than we thought he was. That sickness he had finally got to his brain. And that'd be the truth. I'm not the head of any class, but I can tell you one thing. My attitudes in my life is a whole lot different than it was even 18 months ago. Never mind 2 years. And in those 3 to 4 years, I have learned those things of God, which are peace with God, because he did it all. And no matter what I do, he'll still see me through. But I only want to do his will, and I'm a weak person. At least I consider myself weak, and that's my folly. For the Bible said, consider yourself strong. He's not given a spirit of fear, but of wisdom and courage and a sound mind. But of love and courage and a sound mind. We're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ who loved us and gave him for it. Gave himself for it. You see? Even the fact that I preach mostly doctrine and don't go into these things which I consider a true pastoral calling dealing with these things here. And yet that word, I have such faith in that word to know that word cannot fail in the earthen vessel. The earthen vessel may fail, but there'll come a day when that word must overpower that earthen vessel. And that's the testimony I stand with. And I know some of you stand with that same testimony because you know what I'm talking about. Amen. But I'm not talking so much for here. I'm talking for a double dose getting up on the tape and on the video. Because people are going to listen. I want them to know what I stand for. And if this doesn't clear it up, I'm simply sorry. I'm not worried anymore because I'm clearing it up. Because if I believed in smoking, I would smoke. You know, the Spurgeon smoked till the doctor made Spurgeon quit. Yeah. Light wasn't in that hour. But look at the good food they had in those days. Yeah. Now you pour smoke in your body. Do you know, read the Reader's Digest. Take an x-ray, your whole body is lined with radioactive material. Lead, what is it? Plutonium 210 and lead 210. I don't know. The rest of you know what it's there. It gets in the body. The whole body's now full. So we take it to our daughter, and see what she's going to do. But nobody can tell me Carol's not a good girl. The prophet loved her like he loved nobody outside of his own wife in that particular sense. He'd all say, where's my girl? How's she doing? Now, let's take a look at these things. Oh, you can go around and ask all you want, my brother. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It's this word that counts, honey, and the way you and I act about it. You don't have to accept or evail. I don't even accept myself, so ha-ha, the joke's over. But I can assure Seth William Branham what he taught. And I believe with all my heart I'm teaching the truth.
Amen.
I'm not teaching anybody smoke. I'm saying, look, if you smoke, get rid of it. That's nothing to that. Something to that. See? There's nothing. I know it can become a spirit, all the things. But that's nothing in my books along these other things. So you can see where I stand on the strict statement of not denying anyone the Lord's Supper unless there's been a charge laid and proven of gross immorality. But this does not make room for wrong living. It doesn't. I don't believe in wrong living. But I know that I do not live up to the scripture as I should. With the fruit, with the virtues and these things that God has laid out, though I strive for them and I want them. And my great cry is about it. So I have pity for those people who have a problem. And I do not flaunt them. People think I flaunt them. But I saw the man who said I flaunted it. Well, oh, he's in adultery. Polygamy. He hasn't even got the guts to get a marriage license woman. So he gets married in front of the church. That's supposed to, that. Oh, come on.
Amen.
Filth this, filth. I don't care if it's in Queen Victoria or her neighbor.
Yeah.
Don't give me that nonsense. I've heard all that corruption. I'm tired and sick and tired of it. You make room for your sin, it'll get you.
Amen.
You bet. I made room for things I've done. It got me. I paid my price. By the grace of God, I hope I've got over it. Maybe I haven't. That's why you pray one for another. Tarry one for another.
Amen.
All right, let's keep reading. Let's go to Galatians, the 6th chapter. We're in it. Okay, 1-6. Brethren, if man be overtaken the fault, he which your spirit shall restore such a one, and the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Now here's a man here that was on the level, and then he gets weak, he gets careless, and he falls aside. Perhaps the smoker never did fall aside. He had nothing to fall aside from. The guy never got over it. Now bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How did Christ bear one another's burdens? How could you bear the burdens that Christ bore? Now you've just glazed over this like I have all your life. Bear one of the burdens and not replied any real thought to it. What burdens did Christ really bear? Sin. And you bear with the people in sin until you can help them lift them up this way, same Christ does. As I said, to provoke. To acts of love. The word provoke means to excite to paroxysms. Tell people what love will do and show what love will do until they begin doing it too.
Amen.
See? Don't just talk about it and pull a good face on it. See? For if a man think he shall be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. That's a good one. Don't think you're the great rescuer. Well, let every man prove his own work and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not know. You can come to that place, brother, sister, when you know. Every man shall bear his own burden. Yep. Certainly will. Okay, let the people confess, as in James, the 5th chapter, and the 16th verse. We'll take a look at it. Confess your faults one another and pray one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sure. Let's go to 2 Peter. I beg your pardon, 1 Peter. That's the 2nd chapter. Like verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king or supreme, or governors, unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. I wish it were that way in this country here. They cut down the ones that are trying to do good and exalt the evildoers. It's a pity. For so is the will of God in well-doing, you put to silence ignorance of the foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Don't try to make the Bible fit the world, brother, sister. You can't do it. I tell you flat right now, don't try to do it. I've been all through the Gerald B. Winrods and the Kenneth Goffs and the Gerald B. Smiths. I tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash. Won't work. Never has, never will. They're entirely separate. They're two separate kingdoms. You can't mix them. Try to do it, it's going to backfire. Won't work. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Now that's a tough one right there. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. But what glory is it when you are buffeted for your own faults and you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer it, you take it patiently, this is except with God. Now I'm going to tell you what, we all suffer for our wrongdoing, which we're entitled to, because we did it. Like I told your old brother Brewer, old Ralph, and my wife said, well, did God take me? He said, no, he said, I didn't ask him to start. He said, so I didn't figure that I should ask him to take it away from me. Did Donnie's own, and he quit. That's true. True enough, okay? Did I read as far as I wanted to go? No, read a little further here. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now watch, this is the burden. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he reviled, reviled not again. In other words, didn't hit back. When he suffered, he threatened not. Committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree, that we being dead to sin should live to righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. For you were sheep going astray. Didn't say dogs and pigs, or sheep. But now return to the bishop, to shepherd, the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Okay. I believe the hour is here that we're one family. I preach that, and I believe it. I haven't preached much, but I'm just giving you the thought, passing on till we get more to it later on. So we ought to conduct ourselves as one family under Christ. Establish the church family in the place where it belongs. And that's where we find in Galatians, the 6th chapter, is bear you one another burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, be on the guard to see if we can be helpful to people who have a need. Romans 13 and 14, make no provision for the flesh and to fulfill the lust thereof. That's one right there, a warning, brother, sister. But you'll find our kids doing it under peer pressure. And you'll find adults doing it. You see, that's where we could get in trouble right now with the monitors. I've got enough confidence. People tell, there's a fellow in Canada, he got a monitor. And so people say, well, hallelujah, the preacher did it, we can do it. Well, you got your monitors way before I got mine. I never let anybody, I won't lead anybody. I'm not against them. The people begin getting dirty shows and things. Now, that's the same with those discs. Those you can get a disc and have a dirty show, or you can tune in on some of the finest music and literature and compositions in this world that are elevating, and God hasn't got a thing against it. Some people say music is not of God. Brother Bannon said music was of God. Everything is of God is what the devil does with it. Do you think I wouldn't like to have a dish in my house and get perennially any time I want, which I wouldn't dare because I haven't got that kind of time. And I'm too nervous anyway to get Itzhak Perlman. Oh, my. Listening and play? Isaac Stern's good, but give me Perlman anything. Because he's got such a wide range. He can play hoedown, scrape a fiddle like a barn dancer, and play the finest music under high heaven. Fantastic. And get these singers that can sing beautifully. Now, I know Brother Branham didn't go much for that stuff. In fact, he didn't condemn it. He just condemned these guys like Pat Boone singing songs as though they were outstanding Christians and doing wrong things. In other words, he never condemned anybody that they didn't put a show on. But you can get a dish and you can use for anything. All right, so this preacher, the people began using these bad films, so he had to kick his out. I'm going to tell you, I've got such faith in these people here that you come this distance that you're not going to have that tripe around here. Now, some of you may, every now and then may want to look and take a little peek at those things. Well, let's face it, there's very few people that doesn't have a problem now every now and then with something in his life. But I've got this confidence you won't do it. And if it gets holy, you'll throw it out. You won't need me around the place or anything else. Look, we're a family here. We're not. Don't let your life disgrace anybody in this church. You know my prayer has been for a long, long time. God, if anything happened to me, and maybe I'm worthy of getting clobbered somewhere somehow. Don't let it reflect on the people. Don't hurt anybody else because of me. Now look, that's a pretty nice prayer, but it doesn't mean that if I don't do something about it. No way, shape, and form. No way, shape, and form. Oh, I know kids don't even honor their parents enough these days. They won't want to make a fool of themselves. Let me tell you something. Honor your father and mother.
Amen.
Oh, sure. You watch where the kids go if they don't. Oh, you watch where it goes. Don't worry. You'll find out you're not half as smart as you thought. I see. I meet it every day. Meet it every day. Parents can't get in you and make you do things. That's all right. You'll find out. Find out too late. It's your tough luck. He said, that's a nasty way. It isn't nasty. That's just the truth. What do you expect me to do?
Amen.
You want me to give you a license to live like the devil and then bail you out? Come on. Don't be stupid. You live like the devil, that's what's going to be. The devil will get you.
Right.
Thrash you and then see what God will do. Nobody make you respond. Sure spirit there, see? All right, listen. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans 14:22. Blessed is the man who condemneth not himself in the things that he allows. That's family. There are certain things you simply can't allow yourself. No, because they're going to hurt somebody. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful. I'll not be brought in the power of any. Let's take a look and read the rest of it. I think that's 1 Corinthians 10, the third chapter. Okay, we quote it. Now then, let's read on. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. It says wealth. No, it means welfare. His good. Whatever soul in the shambles, that he'd asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth's the Lord's and the fullness of. If any of them that believe not bid you go to feast, you be disposed to go. Whatever set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. You don't be afraid to give and take in this life, as long as it doesn't make you do things that are wrong. See?
Yeah.
That's not what he wants here. Okay. Now let's go back to verse 16, because the sermon is on the cup. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, see, bring it together now. For behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not they which eat of this sacrifice partakers of the altar? Now, what's he saying? Now, you don't eat the altar. See? All right, now, Christ was sacrificed upon the altar of his own body, like the altar of mankind. Now, when you partake of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, then you are literally eating this bread and this wine as symbolic of that body. You then are partakers of it all. And you cannot be whole as a Christian without doing this, and you must come with the right attitudes. But remember, you will never be perfect.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say you that are wonderful, you don't have to examine yourself and tarry for the other. It says let every single person examine himself and tarry for himself and the other. It's a very serious thing, brother, sister. And so we should do with all things with the Lord. Now, what shall I say then? The idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Now, he's talking about the communion of the Lord's Supper. Then anybody that's off this communion is in danger. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. I want to ask you a question. Who was it that botched up the word? The devil did. Then if the communion is botched up and the priest puts the wafer on your tongue and he drinks the wine, are you drinking unto God or the devil? Now you tell me. Oh, Brother Bell, that's not the way it goes. Well, you tell me what way it does go then. Then I'll tell you this, you're off the word, you're finished. Because it was thus saith the Lord, you had to be baptized over again if you're baptized wrong. I was baptized, I figured that settled it. Because my conscience right. It doesn't have a thing to do with your conscience. Eve's conscience was right too until she found she was completely messed up. Then it was too late. So where's your conscience? Not worth that. A plug nickel. It's a dangerous thing. See? Cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Can't be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. I say, who put in these people's mind to do what they did at the Lord's table? The devil did. And whose cup were they drinking? A great pretense it was God, but it wasn't God. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not. But all things edify not. And He said, I'll not be brought in the power of any. So there we see. That's what we're looking at in this message here. Our works as a family is not to condemn or disown or to disinherit. Now you understand what I'm saying? I don't want anybody in this church or any, but I hope to God that my voice reaches by way of tape, will ever think anything but this, that it is not my desire, and it's personally speaking, to condemn or disown or disinherit, but to help the members to rise where they can help others and gain a victory. But my brother and my sister, if you turn down the help I'm trying to give, what can I say? What can I do? Now, I cannot take and buy each of you a house and give you $1 million in the bank and you say, that's it. That isn't going to do you any good. You're still the same person. I find myself far better off with one suit hanging with a couple of moth holes in it than 8 suits that don't have any moth holes. And I'm lying about that because I got a whole lot more. And no moth holes. So what if I took and gave each one of you health? You're going to die anyway if the Lord doesn't come. What can I do but preach the word and pray for you? That's the big thing. And let you know what the prophet said and what the word said. And stand back and see if it's working out or not. It's working out. I can tell the difference. I saw the difference start years ago. Some couldn't see it. Well, you got a setback for a while. But you can catch up. And no problem. From which there's only one word of life in it. That's the living word. And we try not to get things, our lines mixed up in times like this by the grace of Almighty God. I cannot help anybody. There's not within me to do that thing, but I can preach and use whatever gift I have and be sincere. And I can tell you one thing. I'm not trying to fool anybody here for this very reason. I'm going the same direction. And I'm a mile ahead of all of you when it comes to it. So who's going to get to hell faster if I'm leading wrong? I'll get there. You'll tumble on top of me. You'll fall on top of me. If that's the way we're going. But I'll not be like a person who can get you to the bit of the pit and then suddenly stand aside while you tumble over. Oh, no. Oh, it's not the way it goes. So we're not trying to be deceitful. We're trying to give you the truth here, see? Trying to help people that don't understand that are still legal. And try to condemn people. Why condemn? They're already condemned. I can't tell a man. He comes and he goes. Brother Branham gave people short hair, paint and powder, came up the front, took communion. Now, I'm not saying anybody should do it. I'm not telling people to do it. But I'm just saying if you're a real sincere Christian and you're fighting the good fight of faith and you're having a battle that really you shouldn't even have because about 1 week of it would get you over it likely. Maybe 2 weeks at the most. It'd be clear sailing. But when you look at that person smoking a cigarette and say, that person has no right to come, and I admit the person himself really doesn't have any right to come and shouldn't come. And what about you with the anger, the jealousy, the malice? Well, look, I could preach a sermon where not one person could come to this table. And I'd never say, well, folk, I'm going to join the crowd. Let's go someplace else and see a movie. No, no. Tarry one for another. Confess the faults if necessary. Talk to God about it. And by His grace, know that there's help for all of us. Let us not root up the wheat with the tares, but yet never let the tares overcome the wheat. Now, we don't do that here. We don't intend to uproot anybody or anything. But neither do we intend to let them flourish to overcome us. Watch unto prayer. Apply the word. And if it comes to a place where the church must excommunicate, then it must. But maybe a little last note. No smoker, no drinker, no womanizer, no liar, or lazy person, untested, proven adult, can ever be an officer in this church. If one of them ever becomes an officer and is found out, that person would be advised to resign because that's all that that person could do. Amen. Now, if I believed that you could smoke and come to this front here and take communion, I believe that was okay. I wouldn't mind my deacon smoking. In fact, he might advise you what's the best brand. Now, I'm hitting the strong because I want people to know, especially outside of here, who are just so intent to grab one thing said and not listen to the 12 and 13 other sermons preached on it. I want it known that I have never smoked in my life. I have never drunk in my life. That is really drink. I tried a little bit of scotch in ginger ale one time. It did taste good. But I found out I can get drunk awful easy. Although I get very happy with it. You say, Brother Bill, why don't you drink more often? No, I'm not interested. You know, I'll be honest with you. I suppose Bill, you might have hosted a few in your day. maybe not too many. But look at it, I don't go for that. That's not right. It's wrong. But what if God put something in that person's heart and left it there to see what that person would do? Now he's got to partake, and he's got to quit. What are you going to do? You say, well, I'll wait until the day comes when I'll be free. Well, that may be all right. I won't fuss about that. But you love to be there. You want to be a part, and you're not trying to hurt anybody. You've already condemned yourself. You've judged yourself. Well, look, I'd let it go for a while, but the day's going to come when I say, hey, 3 months have gone by. You could fly around the world and almost win 6 continents in 3 months. You go through, if you study as hard on your work as you do on your puffin, you could go through a couple of semesters in college. or maybe more. In fact, our boy could do one in 2 weeks to give you 3 months. That's six. Six semesters, 3 months. Some guys take just a few hours. He'd take 23 or 24. They'd get through it and he could take it. Well, he had a brain, but he's not born again. So you see, the thing is, we've got to become to the place where we just go back to Colossians. This will close it off very nicely tonight. Read again. In the book of Colossians, and all strive. Throw your cigarettes away, your drinking, but listen, when you do that, remember, that doesn't clear you. Remember, Brother Branham didn't hit the man for smoking near as much as he hit the woman for smoking, because she's a weaker vessel. Okay. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetous, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes to children of disobedience. You don't have a thing to do with it. It's out, dead, gone, period. Kill it, says kill it. Doesn't let it live and work with it. Said kill it. This is not a growth, this is an eradication. In which you also walk. But now put off what? These. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie to one another, seeing you put off the old man with your deeds, put on the new man. Renewed in knowledge after the image and the creed him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, all in Christ. He's talking to Christians now. Here's how he's supposed to act. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, and always ready to show mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing another, forgiving another, even as if any man have a quarrel against him. He says the same thing to Ephesians. That's the Spirit-filled church, all in order. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Preachers have said some pretty hard things, and people get mad because they know and he knows who's doing it. Oh, mighty fine deacons. Stalk out. I'm not going to call our own meeting. We'll get rid of him. Okay, poor gossip businessman. Have fun. Have fun. Your time's come. You don't have to worry about anything. It's already exposed. Don't stop around as though, look, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about what's already happened in another church. Don't stop around as though you got something. You better have something. Now, if someone tries to destroy your ministry, I'm not defending myself. I'm just telling you flat. I'm not saying I got a right to stomp around, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll stand with this word in this ministry. That's final. That's final. You can do what you want. And do it to me even. That's all right. But don't try to take this ministry away. Now, I'm not saying that to anybody here. I'm just saying that's the way it goes. But you know, people get an idea that, you know, that they don't have to come under this here. The closest I ever came to being a real white person, instead of a black person, I'm talking to the soul now. I'd gone down the road one time, this years and years back now. I didn't know the road was slick, was plum ice. The car got completely out of control and cars were coming. I said, one of the press said, oh God, it's okay if I get hurt, but don't let me hurt the other guy. And that had to be the Holy Ghost, because Levi wouldn't say that. I don't think I ever said it again, but I learned a lesson right there. And I'm saying that today too, if I'm going to get hurt, that's all right. Let it be private, let it be hurt. But not the people. Because we're family. You say, I don't believe that, but you don't believe maybe nothing, but I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. If I stand this pulpit and I don't know the things of God and the way those things should move, then I have no right to be here. Because I'm supposed to stand here sounding like a head or a leader, and I've never claimed that. But I can tell you one thing, this church is moving. The saints of God are moving. What I said tonight, don't anybody be disquieted. If there's something in there that you need, you just take it. Because I tell you, I'm not here to hurt anybody. I want to help anybody if I can. But if you don't want to be helped, brother, sister, and you want to show that you're a different kind of a person, that's all right. You are a different kind of a person. Somebody would be sorry that you were. I've been sorry, you'll be sorry. See? Because when you're trying to be family, and everybody trying to be right and good and right, then I'm going to tell you what. If it takes a spirit of grace to accept cordiality, to accept love, to accept benevolence, to accept sympathy, to accept grace. I'd start praying, because I'm a hog for all of it. I'm a hog for all of it. I can't stand back and say, listen, I'm going to tell you something. People, we get phone calls all the time. Some perhaps, well, for a while I suppose they had more phone calls from around the world than anybody in this message, but that isn't true by long shot anymore. I've pretty well drawn myself. But I do get calls from around different parts of the world. I get letters all the time. And they'll say, Brother Vail, we're praying for you. And that's the sweetest music in the world. And I'd say, oh, man, I'm a sponge. I'm a sponge. I'm a sponge. The biggest sponge in the bottom of the whole ocean. Lord, pour them prayers on. And I just keep praying for them that their prayers reach through, because that's what it's all about. So you see, brother, sister, when you talk about communion, you talk about anything, it's a matter of love. Love is a matter of the Word. Brother Branham said, love is doing the will of God. Said the same thing about compassion. So there it is. So I hope you've got some help. I don't know. But it wasn't preached so much for you. It was preached for outside. Because you know what I believe. And you know I mean it. If I believed in cigarettes, I'd have them up here. But my throat's bad enough now. And I did have TB when I was a kid. And I know that they constrict blood vessels and do a lot of things here. Why would I want that? There's a lot of things I enjoy a whole lot more, and that's forbidden too. Coffee. That's got to go. I love ice cream. That's got to go. All these things. I don't feel bad about it. It's come to a place now where it doesn't matter. Let's get to the place, brother, sister, in the things of God, where these things that you know, bug us and all, the differences, where it's just like ice cream's no good, that's gone. Feuding's no good, that's gone. Disrespect, that's no good, that's gone. Criticism, that's no good, that's gone. Let's have a diet tonight, a spiritual diet, wherein we eradicate the things that are not good and bring in all the things that are good. You know, be a little kinder, be a little sweeter, be a little more loving. And even when you feel rotten, that's my trouble. When I feel rotten, sometimes I feel so rotten, one day I feel like, oh yeah, I could live to be 100, next day, oh God, get me out of here in the next 10 minutes or I'll blow my brains out. It's just something hits you. I don't really say that, but it's kind of how I feel about it, you know. But even in those times, I'm obligated, no matter how I feel, to be sweet and kind to everybody. And I recognize that. You say, well, Brother Dale, then you can't take communion. I told you, I just confessed it. I can take communion. You say, then from now on, then you couldn't possibly feel that way. I'll feel that way tomorrow, but less by the grace of God than yesterday. Going down the road. You see, brother, sister, if there is a growth into Christ, then there would have to be a diminishing down here. It couldn't be just bang. Now, there's some things in life that just bang, they're gone. And I believe smoking should be one of them. But what if they're not gone? Do you blow your brains up? Do you quit? Do you throw your hands up? No, you go on. You go on. And if you should take communion, it's a must for people. And yet there's restrictions. What's the restrictions? Get rid of it. Start getting rid of it. So that's what we're talking about. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not trying to hold anybody back. I do everything I can to help people. And I must admit, I like every father, and I'm not a father in the sense of a minister or priest, but like every father with children, you do become a little lenient. And long as it doesn't condemn or destroy, well, you kind of get away with it. But then there comes a day when you say, hey, this is it. And that's what this church is. And there are no smokers here, to my knowledge. If there were, we'd have to deal with it. If there were liars, we'd have to deal with it. If there were crooks, we'd have to deal with it. Now, I'm not saying that that we got a perfect church. Heavens, no, we don't have a perfect church. As long as I'm here, you'll be rest assured you do not have a perfect church. As long as I'm here, you will not have a perfect church. As long as we're all here, it's going to take a resurrection. But we can keep going on. As long as we see fruit coming on the scene, let's encourage each other, not hurt each other, put each other down, but tolerate and encourage. Sometimes even let people get away with things and just pray. Let them get away with it and just pray. There's a lot of some of my preacher friends do that. Fine, godly men. Some of my friends do it. I want to do it too. I want you to do it too. We all want to do it together, so let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we praise and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Knowing, Lord, that we do not champion sin nor ask men to sin, Lord, any more than we want to sin ourselves. Oh, God, how miserable we feel when we fail. We know that, Lord. And how tragic we feel. We say our testimony's gone, and everything seems like the bottom's up. We know, Lord, we've got the great high priest, even Jesus Christ the Beloved, sitting on the throne now, one time at the right hand of the majesty, but now climbed on the Father's throne because the sealed book is unsealed and brought down here with the voice of God on earth, the thunders, and the great prophet you gave us. And now even as the King, the Judge, the whole, all of it, seeing him there, all things being put under his feet, we know that he there, we have acceptation with you, who right now in the pillar of fire stands here, condescending through the blood to meet with us, mingle with us, and be our head. And we know that we cannot hurt you, Lord. We're trying, and we trust that we can learn to stand aside and learn, Lord, to let you have your way and you govern and control our lives, Lord, until we're more and more pleasing to you and know, Lord, that we are growing in grace. We're moving on. Then we have satisfaction and happiness in our souls and know that it's just getting brighter and brighter and there's more and more fellowship. Father, may our hearts be set upon rising to that place of a church full of the virtues and the fruit of the Spirit. Then, Lord, if there were any gifts to operate, it would then be a delight and you would be glorified and it would be just wonderful the way the prophet described it from your word, Lord, that you gave to him. So, Father, here we are tonight, meeting in love, anxious, Lord, to grow deeper in the things of God and one with each other until we can look each one in the eye and shake hands and hug and love, Lord God, and know there is nothing between. We often sing, Lord, nothing between my Lord, my soul and my Savior. And we sing that, Lord, because we know of the blood. We know of the Holy Spirit. We know of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great intercessor, our high priest. We know that. and we are fortunate as so, but Lord, we ought to be able to sing, there's nothing between my soul and my brother and my sister either. And not just put it down to the perfect sacrifice, but know we've let the perfect sacrifice and the perfect life has its work in our hearts, so there's nothing there. God, take everything out of our hearts tonight against anybody and anything whatsoever, Lord. We're going to go our way, Lord. They're going to go their way. At least, God, give us an understanding, have the courtesy to allow each other their dues and what they want to do. But then, Lord, make us realize our obligation with our courtesy is to love them and to help them do what we can. Father, that's what I pray tonight. And I know you've heard our prayer, Lord, and I know that prayer's been answered and being answered. I know that, Lord. I've got no doubt about it, that we're going on with you, Lord, that grace upon grace will come because you said so. It'll be the Lord building the house, not us. The Lord building the house. The Lord watching the people, watching the city. God being in all, over all, through all, above all, God all, just all in all, from him and to him and for him, Lord. Receive glory tonight, Lord. I pray you have, Father, but receive glory out of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Yea, Lord, we plead. Amen. The Lord bless you. Just take the name of Jesus.